So if you notice, between your notes and the very first slide on the PowerPoint, you'll notice that the title is different. Where does the Bible come from? The Word of God is the best. Sometimes as after a pastor gives his message to the people in charge and stuff like that, notes happen, sermon notes happen, changes happen, and the title changes. Sometimes he forgets what he told them and makes up a new title. I'll let you guess which one it is. Today we're actually we're looking still at doctrine, false teaching, and the pastoral epistles. And today we're looking into a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. And this passage that we're looking at today is in the midst of a paragraph. So I'm going to read you the entire paragraph, but our focus today is going to be on verses 14 to 17. So it starts at verse 10 where it says, and it's Paul speaking to Timothy, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So I have a question, and it deals with the chair that Tears is sitting in. So Tears, I'm going to ask you to stand up for a moment. And I want us all to look at this chair. And specifically, I want you to look at this chair, and I want you to think about the chair. I want you to think about what it looks like, and that's pretty easy for most of us to tell. Some of us with glasses or poorer vision than our youth might see it a slightly differently. If you're colorblind, you might see it way differently. Then I'd ask you, without getting up, how does it feel? What's the texture of this chair? Is it, well, if you've sat in the chair, please don't answer. From just looking at the chair, tell me how comfortable it is. Not how comfortable you think it is. How comfortable is the chair just based on looking at it? Now, there are a few people in this church. I have sat in this chair. Alice has sat in this chair. A few other people have sat in this chair. So they could tell you a little bit about it. But until you sit in the chair, you won't know how comfortable it is, because Alice's gauge of comfort and your gauge of comfort might be slightly different. And I could say, with at least to my comfort, it's not a chair I'd like to sit and watch TV in for hours, but to upload my PowerPoint to the computer in 30 seconds, it's a comfortable enough chair.
It's squishier than that chair, but not as squishy as this chair.
Okay, so we have a couple personal testimonies. But again, you wouldn't know unless you studied the chair, sat in the chair, felt the chair, exactly how comfortable the chair is, unless you sat in it. So, after church today, sit in the chair. See how it feels.
I'm going to give it back to Tears now.
She doesn't need to sit in it, though.
She doesn't need to. She gets to if she would like to.
So that's where we're going today with the Bible, is you don't know how great the Bible is or how beneficial the Bible is by just doing this. Looks good and kind of long. Oh my, the words are tiny. If that was our exposure to the Bible, we would obviously not be experts on it or even well read on it. Or if, oh yeah, I love listening to so and so. Oh, what did they say about the Bible? Oh, a bunch of good stuff. Oh, did you read along? Nah, they read it to me. But education is important. And we, as we break down this passage, and like I said, I gave you the whole passage, but we're only going to be focusing on 14 to 17. We're going to start with verse 14, where it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it." Education is so important. And so even though I was like, hey, Jessica, we should do C.S. Lewis this month. She put out Bible study material. Perfect selection, especially matching up with today. So God had a different plan. Even though I like C.S. Lewis too.
C.S. Lewis next
month. It's up to her, not me. So there's lots of awesome tools back there to help you in your understanding of the Bible, but without reading the Bible, all those tools are useless. And education is so important because it teaches us how to live our lives well. I have this opinion on very essential classes that everyone should take, usually in high school, and if not in high school, then in college if you can, but high school is probably a great place for it. And I'm going to start off with woodshop. Woodshop is so important because it teaches you how to build and fix things that are made out of wood. You would leave woodshop knowing how to build things like a birdhouse. Not that that's super essential, but you might also learn how to build a chair or a table. You might be able to repair something in your house that's made of wood and broken. So it's pretty essential, even in today's world, to take woodshop. Because learning these things, real world life skill, will carry through the rest of your life. We also have auto shop. It is extremely important to know how to change a tire because you never know when you're going to be driving out around by yourself, your tire blows, what are you going to do if you can't get a hold of AAA? Learn how to change your own tire, learn how to change your own oil, although nowadays you need 8 computers to change your own oil. But taking auto shop teaches you enough about your car so that you can basically take care of it well while you go through it. Another essential is home economics. Home economics teaches you how to maintain a kitchen, cook, do all those things, make nice dishes, stuff like that. And maybe even maintain the appliances in your kitchen well and know which ones you'll need when you get to adulthood. And finally, and probably the most important, is taking a personal finance class of some sort, learning how to balance a checkbook, learn how to take care of debt, or which debts are good, which debts are bad. If Dave Ramsey teaches at your high school, that would be a great class to teach. But I don't think he teaches at high schools. So these 4 classes, I would say, are essential to any high schooler's journey through high school. I didn't take any of them. Not even one. I took 2 years of photography. I know how to develop film, but we don't even use that anymore. But it's so important to know the basics on how to live life that taking these education classes are so important. reading your Bible more important because it gives you that guide and that rule of life, loving God, loving people, and how best to love God and love people. So that's what Paul has to say to Timothy. Continue in what you have learned. Continue your education. Continue the education that you believe in strongly, knowing from whom you've learned it. You've learned it from God. You've learned it from Scripture. You've learned it from the Bible. He goes on to say, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Timothy is a very good student. He knows his scriptures, and Paul even narrows it, sacred writings. Now, prior to the compilation of the New Testament, they had only what we know today as the Old Testament. And so that's what Timothy's acquainted with. Paul isn't saying, you read the book of Revelation so good, it hadn't even been written yet. So this is during the time of the compilation and the writings of the New Testament. So when he's saying acquainted with the sacred writings, he's not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and so on and so forth. Timothy is a good student. He knows it. He loves God, he loves people, and he's teaching others to do the same. Then Paul also adds in there, it's made you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Reading the Old Testament will point you to Jesus. So whatever doctrine you learn, whatever thing you pick up, whatever thing you're studying, if it's pointing to Jesus, that is a good thing. Genesis points to Jesus. Joshua points to Jesus. Psalms point to Jesus. Isaiah, Habakkuk, Malachi, they all point to Jesus. Then we get into verse 16. And this verse is known, it's a 3:16. It's not John 3:16. It's 2 Timothy 3:16. But there's a lot of popular 3:16s out there, and this is one of them. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. So I was talking about the sacred writings, how it's the Old Testament. And so when Paul wrote these words, he was not speaking of the New Testament, which had yet to be compiled and fully written at this point. But we do apply this verse and this belief of God-breathed scripture to the New Testament. So we rightly so, but it was for, when he was writing and speaking, originally the Old Testament. And he's saying, learn it, know it, believe it. And this God-breathed, we might say inspiration. What we're really talking about here is an intimate and personal relationship. I've seen some Muslim people recently in videos, and they complain about how the Bible was inspired but not dictated. They claim the Quran was dictated to Muhammad, and so it's word for word, God's word, exactly dictated and written down. It wasn't personal, it wasn't a conversation, it was A, B, C, write this down, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Inspiration, this is John having a personal relationship with Jesus, conversing with him and telling him what his word says and mean. This is Paul having a personal relationship with Jesus, talking to him, having a conversation. And Jesus inspires these things. So if I were to say, which would you prefer, a dictation or a relationship, I would pick relationship every time. So that's what we're getting with Scripture. It's an intimate and personal relationship related to paper. So God breathed, and it's profitable. That means it's beneficial. We learn from it. We learn how to correct others. We learn how to correct ourselves. And we learn how to live our lives. Verse 17 continues, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The key word here is equipped. Have God's word with you. Old Testament and New Testament. So those tools back there are awesome tools, but I would not recommend carrying around Strong's Concordance in your back pocket. Mostly because it wouldn't fit. It's large. I also wouldn't recommend carrying the latest John Piper book in your back pocket. Might be a good book to read, but it's not going to lead someone to salvation the same way having the Old and New Testament in your back pocket would. And hopefully it comes out of your back pocket from time to time. So commentaries and teachers, they're important. They help us understand God's word a little better. But they're not the word of God. I'm going to plug something. Steve already, he plugs it every week. The Bible recap. We joined in on October 1st with the New Testament. And I really wish we had joined in on January 1st. This has been such a wonderful blessing in our household, is to listen to and read Scripture together at night. And so we get to hear Scripture. We get to hear the story. And then what we do, we don't do it every single night, but most nights, we actually listen to the Creator's podcast on it. And the Creator, you'll see her fogged out back there, and I'll tell you why I like this picture. Her name's Tara Lee Cobble. She does a little, 8 to 10 minute devotional based on the Scripture. But what's my big purpose of this whole study is focusing on Jesus. Now, that's the one-year guide. I don't know if that's a Bible, like the Bible recap version of the Bible. But the focus isn't on her. It's on God's Word. And I don't know if that was the purpose of this picture, but that's what I thought when I saw this picture. It's like, oh, who's supposed to be in focus? Jesus is our focus, not Tara Lee Cobble, even though she makes some really great observation. So if you have not been joining us in the Bible recap, you can join at any time, and it is fun, beneficial, and has been helping me learn quite a bit. So be equipped with God's word. Use the tools, use the resources to help you understand the word better, so that when you're out in the world and all you have in your back pocket is God's word, you'll know how to use it because you have studied it. You're equipped with it. The more you know about God's word, the more you will be able to detect a counterfeit as well. That is also what's so important about this study on doctrine. There was a story many years ago of a gentleman, and he wanted more than anything to be a jeweler of jade. And if you know jade, jade's like a, to me it's a green rock. But I guess it's a very valuable green rock, I don't know. But the guy, he really wanted to be a jade jeweler. So he went to the jade master and he said, I want to be a jade jeweler. And the jade master said, here, hold this. And he hands him a piece of jade. And he says, okay, what do you want me to do with it? He says, hold it. Okay, I'm holding it. 8 hours later, he takes it. Says, okay, go home. Come back tomorrow. Comes back again. Here's your... And he holds it. He's like, well, what do you want me to do with it? Hold it. Every day for a year, the guy comes in. He's like, I'm getting sick and tired of this. All I'm doing is holding this green rock, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. So 1 year passes, the guy puts the green rock in his hand, he's like, this isn't jade. He knew right away that it was just a plain old green rock. Because the more you are immersed in the Word of God, the more you read it, the more you understand it, and the more you know, when someone comes up and says something that doesn't fit. God's word shows us what's true and how to detect what is false. And the Bible recap is a great tool to help grow in that understanding. Also, our faith comes from hearing. One of the nice things about the Bible recap is if you have the app on your phone and you have the option, you can actually just listen to someone read it to you. And I think that I used to frown at having the Bible read to me. I was like, I should read it myself. I was like, well, it also says in the Bible that the king had to read the law every year, and he often did it out loud. And they'd often have the reading of the law out loud. And in Romans 10, 17 to 21, Paul says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel understand? First Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. Paul is saying here, you haven't been listening. You haven't been learning my word. You haven't been studying. I chose you, Israel, as my people. I've been offering you salvation. I've been pointing you to Jesus, and you don't even see it. So now it's for everybody too. Everybody can come, and you're going to be mad. God is reaching out to you. He's offering us his word, his God-breathed, inspired word, his relationship. He's showing us the whole truth. And when we know the whole truth, when a false truth comes in, we will immediately, hey, no, that's not what the Bible says. I've been in situations where I've heard someone speak from possibly a pulpit or a microphone or a megaphone or something. I was like, yeah, I heard what you said, but that's not what the Bible says. We must accept what God has offered us, and what he has offered us is the way, the truth, and the life. All Jesus did, all of what Jesus did, he did it for the world. And God has been doing that from the beginning. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. He created mankind for relationship. He's given us his word for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. He's done all these things so that we know how to live our lives to be pleasing to him and to be well equipped when we come across someone who knows nothing or little about God. And in this passage with Romans, we can look back and we see that Abraham, he knew God's salvation, not because he walked with Jesus, he was alive before the incarnation of Jesus, but he knew Jesus in a different way, and he knew God's salvation because he was in a relationship with God. David knew salvation because he was in a relationship with God's word and in a relationship with God. The disciples have had salvation because they had an up-close and personal relationship with Jesus. And after that, God's word as well. And we too have God's word. We have a relationship with our Creator. Although Abraham talked to God way differently than we talk to God today. David, a little less so. The disciples, they were face-to-face eating and drinking and walking with God in the flesh. How wondrous would that be? But we still have God's word. We have a relationship with our Creator. We know who he is. But we may not know his word as best as we could. So that is why it's important to be in the word, so that we can tell counterfeits when they come up. To know all of Jesus, we must know his word. We must read it. We must understand it. We must study it. We must use tools to help us understand it as well, so that when counterfeits come up, we will be able to tell the difference. We don't need to study the counterfeits. We don't need to go, it's like, oh, I know so-and-so, oh, he's a bad teacher, so I'm going to go listen to him speak so that I know how bad he is. You don't need to know, you don't need to study the counterfeits to know how bad they are. You just need to know how good God's word is, so that when you hear someone counterfeit, be like, that's counterfeit, I don't need to listen to that. God's word will point you in that direction. And there are a lot of bad copies out there in the world, but there is only one pure, true way, and that is Jesus. So, we do all that we do for Jesus and for all the world to know him, and we study. So when a counterfeit comes up, we can say, hey, that's not what God's word says. And one more example before we move into our song. You are going to come across a lot of people just in your regular realm of life, and you're like, okay, well, I know God's word. I've read it many times. I know it pretty well. Okay, I'm good. Someone comes up to you and is like, well, doesn't the Bible say dot, dot, dot? And that's a test of your knowledge to see how well-equipped you are. Doesn't the Bible say that if my spouse believes that I'm okay, I'm going to go to heaven too? No. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says each person is responsible for their own salvation. It'd be nice because, how well could the spouse slack off if their wife is the churchgoer? Oh yeah, my husband's fine. He doesn't come to church, but I'm saved, so he's saved. The Bible doesn't say that. Our focus is on Jesus. His word tells us what we need to know, and it shows us counterfeits. And it's all for Jesus to share with all the world. Let's stand and sing our new song. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Both the Old and the New Testament, breathed out by you, to help us learn your word, so that when a counterfeit comes up, we'll be able to see it right away. Help us continue to learn more and more about your word by reading it, diving in, using tools when necessary, so that we may walk with you fully. And as we prepare our hearts for communion tonight, Lord, we pray that our heart would point towards yours, and that we would see you and just cling on to what you have. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.